الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكفى بالله شهيدا وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر وهو على كل شيء شهيد وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر والله الشهيد على ما تعملون وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر قل الله شهيد بيني وبينكم وقال الله تعالى في مقام آخر شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم The word shaheed comes from the root letter sheen ha dal shahad shahada mushahida Shaheed refers to witness, and Ash-Shaheed is a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that witness who witnesses everything, whether it's visible, things that we can see apparent outward, or things which are invisible. Allah ta'ala is a witness of both the visible world, the invisible world, the world which is of ghaib, and the world which is mushahida, which is something which we can see, the world that is interior, the world that is exterior, the world that is outward, the world that is inward. Every single thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who is aware of everything. He knows everything. He witnesses everything. He sees everything. This is a very special name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is used in the Quran 18 different places. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qul, that O my beloved Messenger, say to the people that Allahu shaheedum bayni wa baynakum. That say, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the witness between me and you. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness over every single thing. He knows, He is aware, He sees every single thing. Another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَفَىٰ بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And isn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sufficient to be the witness over all your affairs? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of everything that you do that is done to you. There is nothing in this world, nothing in this kingdom of the heavens and the earth which is outside the knowledge of Allah, the awareness of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware, He's a witness to every atom, every zarra. Those who are oppressed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how they are being oppressed. Those who are doing zulm, Allah ta'ala knows who are the ones who are doing zulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witnessing everything. In this dunya, people can do what they have to do. But in akhirah, they will be the adil, the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on that day in akhirah, since Allah Ta'ala is the witness of everything that is happening in this dunya, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is going to give that adl, that complete justice in akhirah, is going to reveal the mazloom, the people who are oppressed will get their justice on that day. The zalim, the oppressors will get the punishment that day. In Surah Ali Imran, another place, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says, Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon. That Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is a witness, shaheed, over everything that you do. Whatever amal you are doing. In this ayat, Allah Ta'ala is addressing the Jews and the Christians. That this Quran is a book of haqq, it's a book of truth, and we have sent and revealed this Quran for you. And despite this Quran, and despite the clear evidence and manifest proof that are mentioned in this Quran, if you're still going to deny this Quran, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that be aware, Wallahu shaheedun ala ma ta'amaloon. Allah is seeing, Allah is witnessing what you are doing. Allah is well aware of your actions, of the intentions that you have behind your actions, and the feelings, the strategies, the planning that you are doing in your heart. When you do, when you begin your planning, even before the plan starts, the start of that thought, then you think about that thought, you plan and strategize, and then you act on that thought, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a witness to everything that you do. So the lesson that we take from this ayat is that every single thing is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of that. And in another ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Shahid Allahu annahu la ilaha illahu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wal malaikatu wa ulul ilmi qa'iman bil qist. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels and the people of ilm, they testify that la ilaha illahu. They give shahada that there is no being worthy of worship except for Allah. And qa'imam bil qist, they testify that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up this world and He runs this world with adl, with insaf, with justice. La ilaha illa huwal azizul hakim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no being worthy of worship except Him. And Allah Ta'ala is Al-Aziz and He is Al-Hakim, full of wisdom. So in this ayat, Mufassirin has mentioned that three testimonies, three witnesses are mentioned, three shahadat are mentioned. One is the shahadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, Shahid Allahu. Second is the witnessing or the testimony of Malaika, wal malaikatu. And third wa ulul ilm, the ahle ilm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testifying that Allah has sent these books and messengers, and they all are testimony to the wahdaniyat of Allah. This world around us is also a testimony to the wahdaniyat, the oneness of Allah. Second, Allah mentions the testimony of angels. They are the muqarrab of Allah. They know everything. They're also witnessing. And what they're witnessing is that only Allah Ta'ala is worthy of being worshipped. And the third shahadat is that of the ulul ilm, the ahle ilm. The ahle ilm means the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and the ulama of this deen of Islam. And this is the reason why the ulama, they have a lot of fazilat in our deen, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned their shaheed, their testimony, along with Allah Ta'ala's own testimony and the testimony of angels. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the ulul ilm along with Himself and His angels. That the ahle ilm, they also testify That there is no being worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ash-shaheed. One thing we should understand then that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower of everything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look, is aware, Allah sees everything, and then all of us will be held accountable for our actions on the day of Qiyamah. So now what is the day of Qiyamah and how will this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will our Amal and who will be witnessing our Amal? This is a point which needs to be understood. That on the day of Qiyamah, every person, there will be 8 witnesses to every single individual. This is a very important point to understand, that every individual on the day of Qiyamah will have 8 witnesses. They will either testify in our favor or against us. So we hope that all of us inshallah will try to listen to these 8 points carefully. That who are those 8 witnesses on the day of Qiyamah? Number one, the first witness would be Al-Makan. That place on which either we used to do the ibadat of Allah or we did some sin against Allah, we disobeyed Allah, that piece of land will testify on the day of Qiyamah. In Quran, Allah mentions, يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّسُ أَخْبَارَهَا بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. That day, the zameen, the will testify, the land will testify, Allah will give hukum to the earth, and the earth will now bring about its reports, will broadcast its reports, and will tell what happened, will testify what people did, what this person did on it. It's like, you know, we see these video cameras today, they're very small, but a video camera can take a picture. So in the same way, every inch of earth is like a video camera. And when we do ibadah, that video camera takes our picture, that this person is doing ibadah on me. And if a person does sin, so this earth, this piece of earth will take a snapshot. And then it will testify against that person. This person did this sin on that falan day. So the first witness is Al-Makan. The second witness is Az-Zaman. Zamana. The time will also witness either in our favor or against us. These days will testify. These nights will testify. This time will testify. In Hadith Mubarakah it comes that yunadi kulla yawmin yawmun jadidun. وَأَنَا فِيمَا تَعْمَلُ فِيَّا شَهِيد. Every day calls to all of us that I am a new day. I am a yawmun jadid. I am a new day. And whoever will do whatever kind of amal in me, I'm going to testify accordingly on the day of Qiyamah. Any whatever type of amal you do during the day or during the night, that day will testify either in our favor or against us. Then the third witness on the day of Qiyamah will be Wal Lisan. Lisan means our tongue. Our tongue is also going to testify. And this also comes in the Quran. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ. That day when their tongues will testify against them. And Allah Ta'ala is saying that our tongues, if a person speaks well, if one person speaks well, that statement, that one good statement can become a cause of taking a person out of Jahannam and making that person enter into Jannat. One good sentence. For example, reciting the kalima. One kalama that a person says with their tongue, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This one kalama will become heavy, more heavy than the heavens and the earth combined, and will tilt the pan of good deeds, and a person will be made to enter into Jannah. And all of his bad deeds will be there, will be about to be thrown inside Jahannam. But this one statement of kalama will tilt the pan in his favor, will end up going into Jannat. And similarly, the opposite can happen as well. One statement of kufr, one statement which is of unbelief, that can take a person to Jahannam. So the words that come out of our tongue, they're very, very important. They're extremely important. We don't understand, we don't realize the importance of the words that we say. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this tongue is extremely important. The Prophet said in a hadith that if you can guarantee me about two things, I can guarantee Jannat for you. Number one, that which is between your jaw, yani your tongue, and the other, your private parts. Whoever can control these two things, the Prophet is saying that I'm going to guarantee that person entry into Jannat. That is why the ulama, they have written that this tongue is very small. This tongue remains correct, if it remains pure, then a person will be pure. And on the other hand, if this tongue becomes impure, if it becomes filthy, sinful, then it can make the person sinful, go on that path of sin. Jirmuhu saghirun wa jurmuhu kabirun. Its size is very small, but the sins that a person can do with this tongue is very, very heavy, very intense. That's why in one hadith in Sahih Bukhari Sharif, the Prophet said that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri, that whoever believes in Allah and the last day, fal yakul khayran, should either speak something good, aw liyasmut, they should keep quiet. They should keep quiet. So we should either speak good with our tongue, or we should remain quiet. There's a very famous sahabi, Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala an. He once asked the Prophet that it's a beautiful hadith. I want you to listen to it carefully. He asked, and Sayyidina Mu'adh bin Jabal, he was a senior faqih sahaba, yani jurist, faqih. So he asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about an act that will cause me to enter Jannat and protect me from the fire. And the Prophet said that you have indeed asked something very profound, very deep. But it will be easy on whom Allah Ta'ala makes it easy. And the answer to your question is that worship Allah and do not associate any partners with Allah Ta'ala. Any worship Allah, no shirk. And establish your regular salah, pay zakat, fast during Ramadan, and perform hajj. So those five pillars of Islam. Then Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked, then the Prophet ﷺ continued and said that, Mu'adh, shall I not tell you about the doors of good? The doors of goodness. And then the Prophet ﷺ explained that fasting is a shield against sins and against the fire. Fasting is a shield against sins and the fire. Charity, yani the sadaqah, extinguishes sins like water extinguishes fire. And the tahajjud salah, right? We did tahajjud today. So tahajjud, the Prophet mentioned, and then he recited this verse, that tatajafa junubuhum anil mazaji'i yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a. And then the Prophet ﷺ continued that, shall I tell you, Mu'adh, about the beginning and the mainstay and the high point of all of this, of Islam. And what's the beginning of Islam? What's the main ingredient component of Islam? And then the high point, the peak of Islam. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell us. So Nabiullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the beginning of Islam, the beginning is acceptance, the kalima. Its mainstay, the main ingredient is salah. And its highest point is jihad. Then the Prophet ﷺ asked that, Mu'adh, shall I tell you about the thing on which all of this depends? Now this is the key question. And up till now, this was all the tamheed, the preface, that all that has been mentioned up till now, what has been mentioned? That what amal which will cause me to enter Jannah, to protect me from the fire. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the five pillars, and mention fasting and charity and tahajjud, and mention that the beginning of Islam is to recite, enter into the fold, kalma, mainstay is salah, highest point is jihad. All of these things depend on one amal. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he held his tongue and said that, guard this. And Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked that, Ya Rasulallah, shall we be questioned about our utterances? And the Prophet ﷺ said that most people will be thrown into fire, face down, because of the transgressions of their tongue. So this question, this is the tongue, the way we use our tongue, it can either be a gift, it can be the source of all success in dunya and akhirah, or it can lead to failure for us. This is something which separates human beings from animals. Now look at the question, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this is about eternal success. And the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning all the mandatory fara'is and the voluntary nawafil, and that covers the entire life of a person. But right at the end, we are being told that the outcome of all these fara'is and nawafil, it's dependent upon guarding our tongue. In other words, if you're careless with the tongue, we can poke holes in all of our good deeds. Our farais will become leaky. Our nawafil will become leaky. So controlling our tongue. That's why another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that every morning when the son of Adam alayhi salam, anyone, a human being, he wakes up, all the limbs, they plead with his tongue, that fear Allah for our sake, for our fate is tied to yours. If you remain upright, we will also remain upright. And imagine all our hands, our eyes, our feet, they are pleading with our tongue that for Allah's sake, you know, fear Allah. Fear Allah, O tongue, because your fate is tied with ours. If you remain upright and correct, then we will remain upright as well. But if you go astray, we should also go astray. So in an hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ said that sometimes it happens a person says something pleasing to Allah, but he does not realize how far those words will go. Small sentence pleasing to Allah, it earns him the pleasure of Allah on that day of Qiyamah. And on the other hand, sometimes a person says something displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does not realize how far his words will go. And that word ends him the fire, the wrath, the punishment of Allah. So we are reminded, and we should remind ourselves, the importance of tongue. Today, Shaitan, the society that we live in, we have changed the names. Right, we do lie with this tongue, we hurt other people with this tongue, we have changed the names of sins. We backbite, we slander, we ridicule other, insult other, mock other, we cause harm to other people, and then we try to rationalize and justify that I didn't lie, what I said was true. I said something which is true. We're backbiting. we change the name, we make it excuses that I just made an excuse, so that it reduces the intensity. We become desensitized to the sins of the tongue, so that we don't feel that nadamat, we don't feel that remorse, that regret that we're supposed to. This is the third witness on that day. Then the fourth witness on the day of Qiyamah, wal-arqan. Arqan refers to the other limbs that we have. For example, our eyes, our hands, our feet, our private parts, they're all the other organs. They will also testify. So in Quran, Allah mentions Surah Yasin, وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. That their hands will speak what a person used to do with their hands. And again, a person can do good with their hands, a person can do bad with their hands, you can do sins with their hands. Sometimes the most vulgar amount of sins can be done with a person's hands. وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ. And their feet will testify, بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, of what they earned in the dunya. Person's hand will be testifying, person's arms will be, person's feet will be testifying, person's thigh will be testifying that what did he do. On the day of Qiyamah, these things will be speaking on our behalf. Any, the way we can understand this is that sometimes, you know, our governments, they have this secret police. Different governments, they have different names, but they have these secret police force. And we think that they are friends, and they're dressed up in plain clothes. We don't even know who they are. We make them our friends. We have, you know, spend time with them. We treat them as friends. We, in our wildest imagination, we don't know that they are police. So we reveal everything that we want to, and they are actually reporting to the government. So we are befriending them, and we are revealing everything that's on our mind, and they are going back and telling the government that this is who this person is, this is what he is thinking, this is what he is planning, this is what he wants to do. Exactly in the same way, these aza, these arakan of our body, these limbs that we have, Allah Ta'ala made them, and they are like the secret police. That when we do sins using these limbs will testify on the day of Qiyamah. And Quran, in Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that when these limbs will testify, so the sinners will say that وَقَالُوا لِجُلُودِهِمْ لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا. The sinners will say that, oh my limbs, why are you testifying against us? And the limbs will reply that قَالُوا أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. The limbs will say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the tawfiq to speak, and we will now speak about everything. And they will speak about everything, and then a person will be embarrassed, will be ashamed of the kinds of amal that they have done. Then the fifth witness on that day will be al-malakan, the two angels who are kiraman katibin. Two angels are with every person, they're writing whatever we are doing. One on the right, one on the left. In Quran, Allah mentions about them, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِزِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ. That indeed you have these two angels who are doing your hifaza, they're witnessing you, and they know everything that you're doing. كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. They know everything that you're doing, and they're writing everything in your book of deeds. So we should imagine that a document, a proper document, is being prepared by them. It's not just going to be oral testimony. They are writing kiraman katibin, and they are writing whatever we are doing. A document, it's like a name, a book of deeds. Every day a chapter is being written. Day one, this is what this person did. Day two, day three, day four, day five, day 100, day 200. the document is being prepared. And in our courts also, we prepare a document, and that court, and that document is presented in the court, and then the judges decide based on that document. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through these angels are also recording every amal, every statement, every action. They're writing it down, documenting it. And these angels will then become a witness to us on the day of Qiyamah as well. Number six is Wad Diwan. The book of deed itself will become, the Name Amal itself will testify. When a person will look at their book of deeds, so a person will be shocked, will be amazed, and they'll say, in Quran Allah mentions, Mali Hazal Kitab. That what is this kind of a book? What is this book? What type of a book is this? La yughadiru saghiratan wala kabira illa ahsaha. That there isn't a smallest of things or the largest of things which is not contained in this book. This book has everything. The minutest, the tiniest detail of our life, the actions, the intentions will be written, will be there. And kabiratan, and the greatest, the highest, the weightiest amal that we have done would also be there. It's written in that book. Wa wajadu ma amilu hadira. And he will find whatever amal he did to be present in that book. Yani amal, though it's something which you do, it's an act. But Allah will write down, will find that amal in a written form in that book. Wala yazlimu rabbuka ahada. And your Lord will not do zulm on anyone else. Allah will not do zulm. What we did, we will see with our own eyes. What we speak, we'll see there written. So what we have, whatever we are doing today, whatever we are acting today, whatever seeds we are putting under the soil, that's what we're going to reap on that day. All of these things will be written in our book of deeds, our Name Amal. So these six witnesses are, I think, all of us understand. But then there is one other witness, and that this witness is a very delicate and a very sensitive matter. This number seven, the seventh witness, is very, very delicate, very sensitive. And who will be the seventh witness? Nabiyul Insi wal Jan, Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi al-Salatu Islam will be made a witness over his servant, over the Ummat. In Hadith Mubarakah, it comes that all the Ummati of Nabi al-Salatu Islam, all the Amal that they do, all the Amal of all the Ummati, the angels, they take those Amal and they present them to the Prophet ﷺ on Thursday. And the Prophet ﷺ witnesses the actions of all of his Ummati every week on Thursday. Now if you think about this, the Prophet ﷺ will be looking at all the actions that we do. And when the Prophet ﷺ looks at the good deeds that we do, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam becomes happy. And when the Prophet ﷺ sees sins, then it hurts the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. So we should think that, do we want to provide happiness to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, or cause hurt and grief, sadness to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ? This is a very delicate and a very sensitive issue. If it was only us and the other limbs that we have, one extent you could say that, okay, that's manageable. But Nabi alayhi salam is also going to be a witness of our own actions. And how many of us would want, no one would want, that our sins be shown to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we provide hurt or grief to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once there was a poet who was a very good poet and wrote some very good poetry in the praise of the Prophet. But he was shaving his beard. So one Allah wala person of Allah passed by, he addressed him and said that, you know, mashallah, you recite very good poetry, but why are you doing this amal? So he said that I'm shaving the beard, I'm not breaking someone's heart. So when he said that, that Allah wala, that Buzurg, he said that no, when you are doing this amal, you are causing grief to the heart of the Prophet. And those words had such an impact that poet, immediately he made tawbah. Immediately made tawbah and said, Jazakallah for opening my eye, that you opened up for me the gravity of this situation, that the Prophet will be witnessing my amal. So when we do neek amal, the Prophet becomes happy. And when the ummah does sin, this gives gham, sadness, to the heart of the Prophet. So the Prophet will also be a witness on that day. That is why there is one couplet that Allama Iqbal has written, and it's many people, Mulana Ilyas Rahmatullah, who used to say this, that I hope that Allah Subhanahu, because of this one couplet that he has written, Allah Subhanahu will forgive all the sins of that person, of Allama Iqbal. It's an ajeeb shir. It's in Farsi, Persian. I'm going to translate this as best as I can into English. He said, he wrote, Tu ghani azhar do alam man fakir, roze mahshar Uzar hai man pazir. Tero Allah, you are a ghani, you are independent, I'm fakir, I'm needy. So on the day of Qiyamah, Allah, accept my excuses. And then the second is very ajeeb. Gir tu mi baini hisabam na guzir, az nigahe Mustafa panha bagir. Tero Allah, if you decide that on the day of Qiyamah, you will necessarily take my hisab, you will take me to task. So Ya Allah, I make dua to you that Allah, take my hisab kitab behind the eyes of the Prophet ﷺ, behind the back of the Prophet ﷺ, so that I don't want to be embarrassed before the Prophet ﷺ. I don't want to cause any grief and sorrow, sadness to the heart of the Prophet ﷺ. Allah, take my hisab behind the back of the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. We are hopeful for the shifaat of the Prophet ﷺ on that day. And if Prophet ﷺ testifies on our sin, then what will happen to us on that day? Another poet, he said that, Ya Allah, you have concealed and put a veil over my faults in this dunya. And today all the people, despite my sins, they don't know my sins. That's why all these people, they still view me with izzat, they honor me, they respect me, they love me. And then, O Allah, I ask you that on the day of Qiyamah, you keep this veil over my faults so that I can get the shifa'at, the intercession of the Prophet ﷺ, so that on that day as well, Allah, I can have this izzat and honor in front of the Prophet ﷺ. Tere Allah, I understand that I'm a very big sinner, but whatever I am, I'm from the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. I've recited the kalma, I've given shahada of the risalat of the Prophet ﷺ, and whoever I am, Allah, I'm your abd and I'm the ummati of the Prophet ﷺ. And Allah, just accept this nisbat, this connection that I have, and Allah, overlook my mistakes and conceal and put a veil over my faults on that day as well. You must have seen in the dunya as well that if there is a house and you have some servant, and that servant then grows old doing his duty and serving us, So when he grows old, then other people, they become relaxed with him, even if he makes a mistake. People have a big heart. They say he has been working for so many years now, we can't throw him out. So that's what we can say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Ya Allah, just like we withhold and we overlook the faults of our old servants, Allah, we have also spent our life on this kalima. Allah, we ask that you overlook our mistakes and grant us the intercession, the shafa'at of the Prophet ﷺ on that day. We need the shafa'at of the Prophet ﷺ. And because of the shafa'at, the ummati will enter into Jannat. The Prophet ﷺ said that every Nabi has been given a dua by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the way they make that dua, Allah will accept that dua as it is. Man or an, it will be accepted by Allah. And all the Anbiya, they have made their duas already. So one Sahabi, he asked that, Ya Rasulullah, did you also get this blessing? Did you also get this ikhtiyar, the right to make dua? The Prophet said that, yes, Allah Ta'ala gave me this right as well. But I haven't made my dua yet. I've saved my dua, and I'm going to use my dua in Akhirah, when on the day of Qiyamah, the Hisab Kitab will be happening about my Ummah. At that time, I'm going to make my dua, and I'm going to use my dua to ensure that my Ummah are made to enter into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So we should try to send durood on the Prophet ﷺ in abundance. We should try to adorn ourselves with the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. On the day of Qiyamah, this shifaat is reserved for those people who had ihtiram of the Prophet ﷺ, sunnah in their hearts, who had this honor and respect for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in their heart. Today we see there are many, unfortunately, there are many people who have lost this respect for the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Whether men or women, in the name of fashion and culture and media and design, and we tend to look down upon the libas of sunnah. We just try to adorn ourselves with the libas which is ghair sunnah. We don't like that conversations of sunnah, those words of the sunnah. We want to put on our tongues those phrases which are ghair sunnah. So we should understand that these customs and rituals and traditions that we have, they should not be such that we end up sacrificing the sunnah. That we eat, we should eat in a way that is sunnah. We should sleep in a way that is sunnah. We should dress up in the sunnah manner. We should learn sunnahs. Learn the du'as of sunnah, the du'as for eating, sleeping, drinking, walking. We should learn the masnoon amal, the sunnah ways of doing our daily acts. Only if we have this love for the sunnah and respect for the sunnah, then we will be able to get the shifaat of the Prophet ﷺ on that day. Otherwise, it will be very difficult. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ can say to us that in the dunya, you used to love, you used to like the habits of other people, you used to follow the tradition, other lifestyle. You like that style. You didn't like my style. You didn't like my sunnah. You didn't have a desire for the sunnah lifestyle. You didn't have this love for the sunnah lifestyle. You loved this other lifestyle. You loved their dress. You loved their tariqah. You loved their ways. You didn't like my way. Now, how can I do your shafa'at today? How can I intercede for you today? You like their way. You didn't like my way. And then on that day, a person will be so ashamed. There'll be no going back. So we should be loyal to the sunnah. We should be loyal to the Prophet ﷺ. This loyalty will come to our benefit on that day. Those who are loyal to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in this dunya, then the Prophet ﷺ will be loyal to them on that day and will grant them Hawza Kawsar, grant them intercession and shafaat, and will be made to enter into Jannat because of the shafaat of the Prophet ﷺ. I think most of us, we have seen, when there is a wedding or some type of a similar occasion, all of us, we are so happy and we are trying our level best to make people happy around us. Even those family members who have we haven't even spoken to them for years. We'll go to them, we'll try to say something to make them happy. That's a happy occasion. Please come, please attend our function. We are sorry what we did. We are sorry, we apologize. So we try to make up. It's a happy occasion, festive occasion. So jo bhi roota hai, if someone is upset, is please, chalo, go the extra mile and make that person, win that person over. Say sorry and then ask that person to come to our to come to our gathering. Even we have seen that sometimes the drivers are upset. They will go, the Malik, the owner, will go to the driver and say that, don't worry, we'll increase your salary. The maid, people who work in the house, the women who work in the house, will extend this message. It's a mom and it's a shadi. It's an occasion of joy and happiness. So just overlook what we did and just come and we'll and participate in our joy and our happiness. And then when the time for shadi, the time for wedding comes, what happens is that we win over every other person in our whole family. And we end up losing the love of the Prophet Sallallahu by the amal that we do in that wedding. The way we celebrate that wedding, we sacrifice almost every sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu in the name of custom, rites, rituals. We leave the sunnah. We leave the sunnah and we make the Prophet Sallallahu unhappy with us in that wedding. So if you live such a lifestyle, then how can we get the shifaat of the Prophet Sallallahu on that day? Today we have time. Today Allah has given us the opportunity that we can make tawbah for whatever happened in the past and we can make this irada intention in the future that I'm going to respect the sunnah, I want to learn the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu, and I'm going to try to implement and emulate the sunnah in my own life. I'm not going to live a life according to the sunnah. And if a person makes that intention, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. This is that brand which will be accepted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever has sunnat, that person will become the maqbool of Allah. Just like if there is a child, the child is the coolness of the eyes of his mother, is the sweetness of the heart of his mother. Exactly in the same way, whoever adorns himself with the sunnah, on the day of Qiyamah, when they will come before the Prophet Sallallahu, they'll become the light of the eyes of the Prophet Sallallahu. They'll become the coolness of the heart of the Prophet Sallallahu. So we should try today that we develop this qalbi taluq, heartfelt relationship with the Prophet Sallallahu. And the way to do that is that we do sunnah, amal on the sunnah, and we send durood and salawat to the Prophet Sallallahu every day. This is a gift. We send this hadiyah, this gift of ibadah, this gift of durood, this gift of salawat to the Prophet Sallallahu, so that kal on the day of Qiyamah, the Prophet Sallallahu can intercede on our behalf. We can get the shafaat of the Prophet Sallallahu, so that then Allah Ta'ala can forgive all of our sins and Allah Ta'ala can accept our tawbah. And then the eighth and the final witness on that day. This is Quran Azim al-Shan. Who will be that witness? Allah says in Quran, Wal-Rahman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, Ar-Rahman will be the witness. Allah ta'ala will be the witness of all our amal on that day. We think that what will other people say? That other person is seeing, this person is seeing, that person is seeing. We should also sometimes think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me. Allah ta'ala is watching me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witnessing. Allah knows everything that I'm doing, everything that I'm speaking, everything that I'm seeing. And sometimes young people, they watch things which we're not supposed to watch on the screen. We should imagine that we are watching a screen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching us on a screen as well. Just like we are watching this laptop screen in front and looking at things which are sinful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also watching us in that screen and seeing us do those sinful things and watch those sinful things. That this is my servant who is breaking my commands. Allah ta'ala will become witness of whatever amal on the day of Qiyamah. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that وَلَا تَعْمَلُونَ مِنْ عَمَلٍ إِلَّا كُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ شُهُودًا, that there isn't any amal that you have done, that you will do, except that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah is saying, we will become witness. We ourselves will become witness over your actions. Now we should think, this is such a big thing, that we sin and we hide our sins from other people. We hide our sins, we hide the track of our sins. We say that how can we conceal our sins so that no one finds out? But how can we hide ourselves from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the witness. So if we should try to remove ourselves from those things which are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if it's difficult for us to leave sin, then today in this gathering, we can make true tawbah to Allah ta'ala. That it's difficult for us to leave sin, but it's not difficult for Allah ta'ala to make us leave those sins. So what we can do in today's gathering is that we can present ourselves to Allah and we can make this true tawbah over all our sins and ask Allah ta'ala for maghfirah, for forgiveness. And then we should make intention. We make this niyat that, oh Allah, I want to leave sin. Allah, I desire to leave sins, but it's difficult for me to leave sins. Allah, you make it easy. Allah, you make it easy for me to leave all the sins that I'm engaged in. Allah, you are my Rabb. Allah, I ask you that you save me from the embarrassment of sin, from the humiliation of sins, from the zillat of sins. Allah, you save me, and Allah, you grant me a life of taqwa. Grant me the izzat that is there in a life that is pleasing to you. Allah, you make this life of taqwa and tahara easy for me. So today we have time that we can ask Allah Ta'ala for this forgiveness. And on the day of Qiyamah, if we can get this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us to enter into Jannah. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all of our sins, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of His rahmah accept our tawbah tonight, and may Allah ta'ala save all of us from the zillat, from the embarrassment of sins in this dunya as well as in Akhirah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to leave this life of sin and make it easy for us to live a life of taqwa, a life of tahara, a life of sunnah. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna min al-zalimin. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa maulaha. Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk wa hubba man yukarribuna ilayk. Allahumma ja'alni uhibbuka bi qalbi kulli wa urdika bi juhdi kulli. Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa mali wa baladi wa min al-ma'i al-baridi ala al-dhama'i. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha, anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa maulaha. Allahumma ja'al uhibbuka bi qalbi kulli wa urdika bi juhdi kulli. Allahumma inna nas'aluka shawkan ila liqa'ik wa lazzatan nazri ila wajhika al-kareem. Allahumma inna nas'aluka imanan kamilan ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.